Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Paul said in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In today's message, Pastor Joel concludes the teaching series entitled, On the Battlefield.
We still have free will. We still can run back to sin as if it were your long lost friend, can't we? We still run back to sin. Just like the Lord said in the song he gave us, going in circles. You still run back to sin like it was your long-lost friend. Huh? See, saints, Jesus paved the way for us to defeat the devil on the battlefield. Jesus laid out a path, a road. But what do we know about those roads? We get on the wrong road. The devil will send you to the wide road. If you don't know the way to righteousness, and you get to the fork in the road, watch the devil. He's like that scarecrow. Which way? That way. Oh, you can go this way. Oh, he'll tell you that. Right? You got to know Jesus. Jesus says it's the narrow road. Okay? So he paves a way for us, but we have free will. But we got to stay on the right road. Now, I said the answer to this question is twofold. That's one way. We have free will. That's why we keep sinning. The other way is, with all that Jesus has given us with which to fight the devil, with which to defeat the devil on the battlefield, there are conditions which have to be met. When you come to Christ, salvation is free, but you just can't sit in it and expect to get to where you need to be. There are still requirements to walk with Christ. That's the part that we don't like. No, we don't like that. You got to meet requirements, right? If you expect to be truly victorious in battles on the battlefield, you have to be prepared. You've got to meet the criteria that Jesus set forth. There are conditions, right? Don't get me wrong. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. Ain't that right? The devil is a defeated foe. Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
True. It's all true. The word also tells us, 2 Chronicles 20:15. Sister Dora said it today in a poem. What did it say? The battle is not whose, but whose. We like that, don't we? Yeah. Woo, I ain't got to fight. I ain't got to do nothing. Thank you, Lord. If I fornicate a little bit, it's all right. I sleep around a little bit. Battle not mine. I ain't battling with this. Come on. Meet me at the hotel. I ain't battling with this. Drink a little bit. Drug a little bit. Go to crack house a couple of times. Woo! It's all right. It's all right. Jesus got me. It's all uptight. All that kind of stuff. Well, the battle is not ours. It's God's. But let's look at that. This is true. But let's look at it in proper context, you all. The battle is between who? Spirits. There's a war going on. There's a war going on. There's one Holy Spirit and a whole bunch of unclean spirits, and there are some angels. But you can bet it's a spiritual battle going on. Now, who is right in the midst of the battle? Bunch of human flesh, us. Spirits battling, pulling us this way and that. Huh? So the battle is not ours, it's God's. But we're the vessels used by God. Is that right? We are the vessels used by God and used for his glory. That's biblical. I'm not making it up. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and clay. Some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, whoever passes the latter will be considered a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. You are the vessel that God is going to use in his war. Yeah. Battle's not ours, it's God, but you're his vessel. You're involved. You can't say, I got nothing to do with this. Oh, yes, you do. He's going to use you. Huh? It's clear. That scripture is, don't we say? Jesus, I'll make you the Lord and Savior of my life. He said, okay, get ready. He said, but the battle is yours. No, but I'm using you. It makes sense? Huh? That's clear. You can't just stand there. No more than an athlete can just stand on the field when the coach said, get in the game, and you just stand there. You, the coach, it's your game. You're the player. I'm using you. Get to moving, punk. You know, you got to move. Right? You don't step on the field and just stand there. You get run over. Kobe, yeah, yank him. Get him out of there. Put him on the bench. What's wrong with you? Well, that's the way it is with God. He's going to put you out there. So you do have some recourse. You do have some commitments that you have to make. You understand that? Do we understand that? So when we say the battle is not ours, it's God's. But remember, God's using you. You're in this. You're part of him. He's in you, as a matter of fact. Now, I'm going to provide you with a scripture that's extremely key for success on the battlefield. And Pastor, just take us real quick to James 4, verses 7 to 10. James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. We're going to be done here in a little bit, you all, but I'm trying to make the time.
James 4, verses 7 to 10 tells us, Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Verse 10 says, is that the final verse? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. You all right with that? Listen, please, and this is for the church, Spirit of Truth, and for all churches that are listening to this broadcast, that will hear it on the radio and everything else. As you know, there are many different scriptures which explain what people need to do in order to refrain from sin, habitual sinning. One is Proverbs 16:3. What does that tell you? Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established, right? Matthew 6:33 says what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's another one that we use a lot. Psalm 37 and 4, right? What does it say? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, these are just a few examples of what helps us in our walk. All true, all good, okay? But today, I have what the Lord gives me as a right now message. A right now message for those who are here right now. Those who will partake right now. And those who will hear this next week. It's still a right now message that the Lord has given me, as well as those who are here now. Men, women, boys, girls, teenagers, this is going to help you. And I know sometimes we as young people, we say, oh man, I got to hear all this. Keep living. It's going to help you. Tuck it away. You'll hear it later, okay? It's going to help you later, okay? Again, you must fully submit to God. He wants you to know that. You've got to fully submit to God. We have to fully submit to God. You see, the truth is, there are many Christians and so-called Christians who think the devil is going to run from them just because you got a title of Mr. Christian. Devil ain't afraid of your name. Mrs. Christian. Miss Bible Study. Miss Conference Goer. He don't care. Okay? Listen, you've got to submit to God. Fully submit to God. All right? I'm telling you the truth. Okay? If you think the devil's going to run from you, no. A lot of people think the devil's going to run from them. Guess what? He running to you. Matter of fact, he's walking with you. Like Groucho Marx, where are we going today? He's walking with you. Sometimes he's your best friend. If you haven't submitted to God, you're going to submit to somebody. These same people consider themselves submitted to God. The Bible says, don't deceive yourself. James 1:22 says, you got to be a doer of the word. It says, if you are not a doer of the word, you deceive yourself. The word says, submit to God. If you deceive yourself and you're talking about Christianity, what's your family thinking? What about your children? What are they thinking? How can you advise them when they don't see it in you? When you all tore up, soon as something happened to you and you fall apart and want to commit suicide and you're a Christian. The devil will make a fool out of us if we let him. But this word is telling us you've got to fully, God says, fully submit. This is for the churches. This is for God's people. Here's a question. How submitted are we to God? Really? How submitted are you to God? Really? Ask yourself. Here's one for you. What is true submission to God? Do we even know? What's total submission to God? That begs another question. If God requires total submission, what will it require for us to give it to him? Those are real questions. Well, we could go on and on. Is our submission full-time submission? Is your submission part-time submission? Is it any time or is it just sometime? And if it's all of the above, are we just picking and choosing the time, the times when we submit to God? God wants total submission. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's what this scripture says. But it doesn't say when to draw near to him, does it? It doesn't say how to draw near to him, does it? I'm telling you, today we're seeing believers, so-called pastors, so-called leaders caught up in fornication, adultery, murder, homosexuality, abuse, all kinds of things. And you notice once exposed, because the devil's going to expose it, once exposed, we hear the plea for forgiveness, don't we? We hear the plea for mercy. And God does forgive those who truly repent. God's a forgiving God. You see, we all draw near to God when those spiritual darts begin to overwhelm us. We can take a few hits, pew, pew, but when they start hitting you, pew, 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 then you go, oh, Lord, help me. See, that's when we really turn to the Lord. But saints, this is what we need to do. We need to be in God's hip pocket long before the fighting gets heavy. We need to be walking with the Lord long before the fighting gets heavy. We need to be where we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty long before that number six storm comes on the radar, that level six, you know, five and six. We need to be walking with him under his umbrella before it starts raining, because when it starts raining and you're running and you can't find the umbrella, now you're in trouble. But to do that, to be under the umbrella of God, under the shadow of the Almighty, you've got to submit to him. You got to say, Lord, I'm with you. I don't care what nobody say. I don't care if I lose all my job. I don't care if I lose my friends. I don't care if I lose my life. I'm with you to death. Will we do that? That's what it takes. God wants sold out believers, because we're on the battlefield. You got to be sold out. I want a whole box of ammunition. I don't want the Lord just saying, here, take them bullets and go out there with your old no-believing self. No, Lord, give me the whole box. Fill up my machine gun. There's a war going on. Teach me to low crawl, Lord. Teach me to fire this spiritual grenade, Lord. I don't want to come out here and have my whole unit blow up, Lord. Help us to be fighters in the trenches, Lord. Help me to look at this like I look at working out, Lord. Keep Lord God, and take away anything that's going to keep me from you. That's what he's talking about. That's when you get demons to flee. They don't want to see you coming. You better know it. That's how you do it. Not by walking with Christ the way you want to walk with him. Not by doing church instead of being the church. Not just treating your relationship with Jesus like it's a trend or a fad or a pastime. Because soon it will be past time. Soon you'll be out of time. That's right. Can we handle truth? That's the truth, y'all. Truth is, some people are in church for their own self-aggrandizement, their own agendas, and they submit only to portions of the scripture. Only portions of the scripture sometimes. The part that suits their needs. The part that fits their opinions. I've heard people twist scriptures or the Bible around like clowns twist blow-up balloons at a carnival. They just twist that thing around, try to make it into something else, and try to give it to you. No, I call those word wranglers. Folks who attempt to wrangle the word to say, well, I know we're supposed to be submit to the Lord, but he knows how I am. What are you talking about? God's not a respecter of persons, right? That's what the Bible says. But people will say things just to justify their own desires and their own interests. I got relatives. Mm-hmm. I got friends. I think they're still my friends, who straddle. One foot in the word and one foot in the world. Uh-huh. They like the word. Problem is, they love the world. Mm-hmm. For example, some people in Christ love the party life so much, they go to clubs and they go to where people are getting loaded and shimmying and shaking and getting high and doing whatever, doing the wiggle and the wobble. Pastor, I don't even know what the wobble is. I heard somebody talking about it. I don't even know what it is. I hope it's not a bad word. Take us to Luke 5, 27 and 32. The reason I'm going here is because I keep hearing this, people justifying what Jesus did and then try to use it for their own justification. So read that real quick, Pastor.
Luke 5, 27 to 32 says, "And these things, after these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named
Jesus.
Levi mm-hmm. sitting at the tax office. Mm-hmm. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' Mm-hmm. So he left all, rose up, and followed him," talking about Matthew. Mm-hmm. "Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them." Verse 30 says, "And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.' Jesus said, 'I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'"
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Now, the reason I had her read that was because I hear people that say, "I'm going into this club to be a witness." They get all dressed up and guzzied up and, put on the skirt with the slit and everything else. They say, "I'm going to this club so I'll be a witness for somebody. They need me. I'm going in there to pull them out." But it says, it's what Jesus did. Do you hear that all the time? He always went among the sinners. That's what it says. But I'm reading this scripture, and I see that it says right here in 27, he went out, talking to Jesus. He saw a tax collector, and he told him, Jesus didn't follow him in. He told the tax collector to follow me. You see what I mean? He told him to follow him. And then later on, we see that Jesus, the tax collector, decided in verse 29, Levi, he decided to give Jesus a feast in his own house. Now, why would he do that? Because in verse 28 said that he left. The tax collector got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Obviously, Jesus transformed his life. He changed him. The man was so enamored with Jesus, he said, "I got to share this." He called a meeting at his house in honor of Jesus and invites Jesus over. Jesus sees it and knows that this is a ministry to bring other people. He didn't get gussied up and go out and hang out talking about a last call for alcohol, doing the wobble and everything else. Instead of pulling people out, they're pulling you in the fire. You see what I mean? This is what's happening to a lot of Christ followers. That's why our testimony is no good. How are you going to pull somebody out when the devil is pulling you in? If you want to save people in the club, become a street preacher. Stand outside the club with a megaphone and say, Lazarus, come out, and see if they come out. Instead of going in the club. Y'all know it's true. You see, Jesus didn't advise his followers to do the things that we do, to have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. Surely we're all at different levels in our walks. But don't fool yourself, because the devil will fool you. He will fool you. The reason I say this, I got relatives, and they've been in Christ a long time. And now they go out more than they even come to church. It's so sad. Liquor things and all kinds of stuff going on. How is the church supposed to have any power if we don't stand with the one who gave us the power? I've seen people who were once in the Word long before I was, and now they're caught up in the world's pursuits. That's why the scripture said, don't love the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay? So instead of leading people away, many Christians are being led in, back into the pit. And that's not submitting to God. That's another form of being on the battlefield and losing the battle. We got to know that, y'all. We got to know that. All right, enough of that. So many examples of why the devil gets the best of God's people in this spiritual warfare. Not enough time in the day to talk about it all. So we've got to stay close to God in all circumstances, and we've got to be real about it, folks. This is real warfare, and we're in the last days. Just look around you. Look at the bad news. All it takes is 5 minutes of the news, and you'll know that we're in the last days. We can't hide it. If you care about yourself and you care about your children and those that are, because some people are going to be left behind. We got to pass this baton. And if I was a young person now, I'd be very skeptical about having children. The Lord would have to tell me to have a baby. He would have to guide me to a woman, and I would have to know. I don't want to put any bad vibes on anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. I see so many young girls having babies. They got babies, and they give me a vital baby shower. I'm like, oh, no. Do they know the ramifications of this? Who's going to take care of that child? Where's the man or the boy that impregnated you? How? Do you know what you've just done? You have just brought a life into this world of sin. Are you prepared? Is this baby prepared? 20 years down the road, we need Jesus. We need to know that you're on the battlefield. We need responsible people. That's why we got to drag everybody into this thing to get to know the Lord, all right? Okay, so enough of that. I'm going to close out. Bottom line, we're on the battlefield. We're facing an enemy that's very shrewd and very skillful. But thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. He's given us more than ample ammunition and firepower with which to overcome the devil and his demonic forces. But we must first do what? Submit to the Lord. Secondly, resist the devil, and then he will flee. Amen. Do that, and we will experience victory after victory after victory. Where? On the battlefield. Amen. Amen.
Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if Pastor Joel's messages are blessing you, let us know. Feel free to submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Are you in need of prayer or encouragement? Please call us at 707-759-5244. Our prayer warriors are here to pray for you. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program. Will you prayerfully consider sowing a one-time seed or an ongoing monthly donation today? All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website, where giving is easy. Simply click on the Donate button on our website to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. And remember, God is with you and has already given you the victory over every challenge. Join us for live Sunday worship services on Facebook or Periscope at 1 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 for prayer and Bible study at 8 p.m. as we walk through the Bible together. Sunday services are also available on YouTube and at SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. Don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for another powerful message with Pastor Joel Jones. Until next time. God is good.